I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Whoever eats me will live because of me, will live forever. If you find Jesus' words unsettling, you are not alone. Those who heard him teach in the synagogue in Capernaum would have been incredibly offended by such cannibalistic talk. Consuming animal blood was a capital crime under the Torah. To drink human blood? Unimaginable. An absolute abomination. Over the last month, we have heard Jesus working up to this tipping point. Throughout chapter 6 of John's Gospel, beginning with feeding the 5,000 with a few loaves and fish, Jesus has been using the imagery of bread to tell us who he is, the bread of life. Not the bread the 5,000 ate. In him, we will find not the caloric energy needed to sustain life, but life itself. True, real, everlasting life. Through his offensive imagery, Jesus is trying to tell us that we absolutely need him because he is our way to God. He came to give his life, his flesh, and his blood to show us the power of love, show us that that is where we will find life, living, abiding in the love of God. Jesus wants us to see that we need to take him into ourselves so completely that he dwells in us and we in him. The imagery he uses becomes the imagery of the Eucharist, something we know well from the Last Supper, 2,000 years of church history, and coming to the altar rail to receive ourselves. But the people listening to him had no idea. Many who had eaten from the loaves and fish had already walked away because Jesus had started calling himself the bread of life. Now he's pushing the point, getting gruesomely graphic, because it is that important. He turns to his disciples, the faithful. Will they believe, trust him, continue to follow him? Our lesson lays out two choices. Some disciples walk away because what Jesus is saying is too much, too incomprehensible. Feeding 5,000 from a few loaves of bread was amazing. Miracles of mercy and compassion made them want to follow Jesus. But this, what he's saying now, violates what they know to be right and true, what they know God wants from the people of Israel. So that's one choice. When what Jesus offers makes no sense against what we know about God, what we know is right or fair or true, we can choose to put our trust in what we know and walk away. The other choice, in the midst of gospel confusion and uncertainty, is the one voiced by our beloved Peter. Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. In Paul's letter we hear today, we hear him refer to the mystery of the gospel. Lord, to whom can we go when that mystery becomes too much? When we want to follow you, but it is too difficult. To whom can we go? Like Peter, in the midst of what we cannot understand, we can choose to stay, believing and knowing that Jesus is still the Holy One, the one who loved us enough to come to us and to be our way to God. This is a choice that we all must make at some point, and some of us at many points. Peter makes one choice in today's gospel. On the night of Jesus' arrest, when the dream is all falling down around him and he feels his life is in danger, he makes a different choice. He walks away. By the Sea of Tiberias, he chooses yet again. This is the reality of Christian discipleship. The good news of Jesus Christ is not always easy. Our faith will not go unchallenged. And still, Jesus calls us to put all our trust in him, to follow him, abide in him, because that is where we will find life. At this summer's General Convention, our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, who will be in this very pulpit when? October 14th. Yes, indeed. At General Convention, he put the call this way. Throw yourself into the hands of Jesus and then live life out of that. Throw yourself into the hands of Jesus. Trust him. Follow him. Abide in him. And then live life out of that. As Parker, Caroline's sleeping, and Carter are baptized this morning, this becomes their call. And like Jesus' first disciples, when the going gets tough, they'll get to choose. The call to their parents and godparents, and all of us welcoming them into the body of Christ this morning, our call is to nurture their faith in Jesus, to teach them the love of God, and to show them what trusting and abiding in Jesus looks like. So when they find themselves in moments that challenge their faith, they'll be able to choose to follow the one in whom they will find life. True, real, everlasting life. Amen.